morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Patty Langley, and I'm going to serve as your liturgist this morning, and I want you all to understand that I personally ordered the sunshine for this service. Yeah. Welcome to all of you and to our guests that are here today for the first time or the second time. Please fill out your attendance pads. They're right on the inside of each pew. It helps us to know who worshiped with us, and we can send our district the correct numbers of who worshiped with us today, okay? And if everyone would turn to the back of their bulletins, there's a few things going on that we want to share with everybody. Our children's ministry, they do this every year. They collect hats and gloves and socks and blankets and such, and we take them to the Stone Soup Homeless Ministry. We will be collecting them until December 23rd. That's when we serve at Stone Soup again, so anything you can bring for that ministry would be much appreciated. And this is the second Sunday of Advent, and our pastors, Mary and Doug, are having their special Advent series entitled The Magical Movies of Christmas. So I know you're going to enjoy these fun and insightful messages. And next Sunday is my favorite Sunday of the year because it is our blessings and music services, and all of our services are nothing but beautiful music. The divine services will have lessons and carols, and we will feature the soloist Kara Claybrook and our chancel choir, and the launch services will have Star Song, which will feature our praise band. It'll be glorious music in all services. And bring a friend, bring your family, because it will be just inspiring, this beautiful music. Next Sunday is also our annual United Methodist Women's Christmas Luncheon. If you plan to attend, let Kara Lee Ford know, or you can let the office know by next Friday. And bring some homemade cookies, because there is a cookie exchange. If you bring some, you can take some home with you. So that's kind of a neat deal, too. Our Christmas Eve candlelight services, there's three services. There's one at 4, there's one at 7, and there's one at 11 on Monday the 24th. And these services are beautiful. They're moving services, so please come. And there's more details on the back of the bulletin for everything that's going on during this time. And I want to congratulate Amber and Alex Brown and the birth of their daughter, Harper May. She was born on December 1st. And in case you haven't noticed, we've had a lot of new births lately. It must have been a really nice December, January, February, and March last year, because we've had a lot of new babies. Now, if everybody would please greet one another and pass the peace of Christ. Thank you. please stand for the hymn of praise, page 238, Angels We Have Heard on High. Kellogg and Marisa Dove are going to light your Advent candles.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. For unto us is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who taught us he brings us a peace not as the world we can give, but only as he can offer. As we live our lives, may we extend daily the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Father God, may your Holy Spirit visit your people with great hope and peace upon each heart. We give you thanks and praise for Jesus Christ, the author of our salvation, and the deliverer of peace to all. In his holy name, amen.
Good morning. Let's got all of our friends. All right. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Did you know that this is the second day of Sunday of Advent? And the theme for this Sunday is what? Starts with a P. No. Peace. Peace. That's right.
Peace? You mean like piece of candy, piece of pizza, piece of pie, piece of cake?
No, 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 no. Not like a piece, but peace.
Ah, piece of paper, piece of furniture, peace of mind.
No. You're getting warmer, though.
Oh, so this is the Sunday we give people a piece of our minds.
No, 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 no. You got it all wrong. It's not P-I-E-C-E. It's P-E-A-C-E.
Oh, I see. Peace. That's when everything is going great and you have nothing to worry about.
Why, yes, we can have peace even when things are not going well.
Ooh, how's that?
Because we know that God is in control. And he promised that he will work all things to the good for all who love him.
Hey, that does make me feel peaceful.
Yes, that is true peace, knowing that God is in control.
Hey, I have some pumpkin pie left over for Thanksgiving. You want a piece?
Maybe. A All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful weather, and we thank you to know that you are in control and that we do have peace when you are in our hearts. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us offer our prayers and remember our friends in need, members of our congregation, Charlie Ward Sr., Mary Jane Patton, Marilyn Thompson, Janet Brandt, Anita Curtis, Larry Brown, Hugh Roberts, and Riley Norton. May God's healing grace come upon each of them. Now let us bow our heads and offer our prayers up to Jesus. Our God and our Father, we lift our prayers to you this morning. We lift up our praise, we lift up our worship, and we lift up our hearts. Let us look to you and you only this morning as you bless this congregation with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Today, we light the candle of peace. This world looks for peace everywhere and in many things. Peace is fleeting when we place our faith in the things this world has to offer. We search and we search, only to be disappointed and unfulfilled. Help us to look to you, Father, for a peace that is solid, a peace that is complete, and a peace that will last forever and never fail. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a peace that passes all human understanding. This morning, we pray for peace around the world. Evil moves over this earth, destroying everything in its path. But we know evil will lose in the end, and peace will be triumphant. May we all, even in our trials, find true peace in you. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Father, thank you for being our great provider. Your promises are the same today as they were with the nation of Israel of old. Let us remember that you never change, and you are ready to bless your children richly through your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The hymn of meditation is on page 236, While Shepherds Watched Their Flock.
Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Last week, if you remember, we were in Bethlehem, a humble, as the scripture calls it, a humble city about 100 miles south of Nazareth. Mary and Joseph traveled there from their hometown to Bethlehem to be counted in the census, as the city of Bethlehem was in Joseph's lineage. Bethlehem, translated City of Bread, was promised a king would be born there from the words of the prophet Micah. Little did the people know that their little village would give birth to the King of Kings. And have we got problems? Okay, I don't like it, but we're going to do it. This week, we're in Bethlehem again, but we're in the fields outside the city. In the hustle and bustle of all that was going on inside of Bethlehem, there was a peace in the hills outside the town. A peace that was going to be shattered in a most unexpected way, and with a message that was going to last throughout the ages. The message would give rise to messengers and a foretelling of what the world was getting ready to see. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, and we're going to be reading in the second chapter. We're going to be reading about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second chapter, verse 8, is where our beginning starts, and I just pray that you're blessed by the reading of God's word. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior,
who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone to the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today, Pastor Mary and I continue with our Magical Movies of Christmas series with, as you can tell by the little tree in front of the altar, sad as it may be, A Charlie Brown Christmas. I was going to put it up on the altar, but it just doesn't seem, the sadness of the tree doesn't seem to go with the nativity scene, so I'll keep it down there, if that's okay. If you haven't seen it lately, I invite you to watch it. There is really a lot of biblical references, believe it or not, in that movie. It opens. The opening scene just sets the stage for the entire movie. Linus and Charlie Brown are walking, and they're heading toward the frozen pond to go skate with all of the other kids. Linus is walking up in front, and he's got his head up, and he is smiling at what was about to happen. He knew it was going to be a blast. Charlie Brown, being Charlie Brown, has his head down. And you can see on his face, he's got his eyebrows. He's kind of worried about something, and he finally confesses to Linus. He said, "I'm confused. I guess I really don't know what the meaning of Christmas is." Today, we're going to see that the setting in the movie, A Charlie Brown Christmas, is not unlike the setting of Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth. Well, in the town of Charlie Brown, everyone was getting lost in the preparations for Christmas. And when I say preparations and getting lost, I mean getting lost in the commercialism. Snoopy had a handbill. Charlie Brown picked it up, and he could see Snoopy hanging lights all over his doghouse in a contest to see who could decorate their house the best. At school, there was rehearsal going on of a play, a Christmas play that Charlie Brown was invited to be the director of. The hustle and the bustle of the season was everywhere in Charlie Brown's town. One of the characters, is, if you've seen any Charlie Brown cartoon, is Pigpen. Pigpen is a character that has a little cloud of dust and dirt that follows him everywhere. And in A Charlie Brown Christmas, that little cloud of dust and dirt even follows him in the snow. And he makes a snowman that looks just like him, of dirty snow. It is amazing. But when I see Pigpen, I'm reminded of the shepherds. The shepherds that lived outside the city of Bethlehem in the hills. You see, these individuals were the lowest of the low in Jewish society. They weren't welcome anywhere because they smelled like the sheep and the goats that they herded. And the landowners around Bethlehem didn't like them much either, because they didn't want these shepherds bringing their flocks onto their land and grazing on their grass. So no, they didn't go into town very much because they just weren't welcomed. Most of us know what it's like at nighttime out in the country. And if you've ever lived way out, it can be absolutely amazing. There's no city lights, there's no street lights to give off what's called light pollution. Well, I can tell you the nights in the country, especially in the Middle East, are amazing. I stood, as many of you know, I stood in the northern deserts of Kuwait about 14 years ago, and I looked up at the night sky. Even in a full moon, the clarity, not a cloud in the sky, I could see almost every star, or so I thought. There couldn't be any more stars in the heavens than what I was seeing. I've never seen the Milky Way with such clarity as I did on that night. It looked like God had a handful of diamonds and just scattered them in the sky. This must have been much like the night that was hanging over the shepherds. Dark, but brilliant stars. Imagine the darkness of the night, the stillness of the night, only hearing the goats and the sheep rustle around a little bit. How that darkness was shattered with a bright light. The brightest light to a shepherd was on a torch, a little stick holding a fire on the end to light their path wherever they went. They see this light that has shattered their darkness coming from what they see is a man. But we know it was an angel. They were scared stiff. Now that's Doug's translation, not the NIV or the NRSV. Being Jewish men, they knew. They had been told many times of angels that had appeared to people like Abraham and Jacob and Daniel. But I'm sure that these Jewish patriarchs was not the first thing to cross their mind when they saw this man standing in front of them. They were scared. Even today, just think about it. Put yourselves in their shoes. Even today, if that was to happen to you or I, I'm sure we would be scared to death. Scholars believe this angel was none other than Gabriel. That was the same angel that appeared to Daniel and interpreted a dream so he could tell his captive king. To Zechariah, who visited him and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to bear a son. And also to Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she was going to bear the Son of God. This was the angel that brought good news to anyone that God sent him to. This encounter was no different. No different at all. Gabriel tells them, as he told the other three individuals, Zechariah and Mary and Daniel, the first words out of his mouth, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news." Now, those of you that know me, I find humor where there probably isn't very much, but in these few verses, I'm finding a little bit of humor in my twisted mind. Here are the shepherds watching their flocks. It's nighttime. They're out in the fields. There's obviously more than one shepherd because the plural is used, shepherds. More than likely, one of their fellow shepherds was out working on sentry. He was out sentry duty, keeping the wild animals and the landowners coming in, anything, anybody that meant to do them harm or their flocks harm. They're relaxing, they're laying down after a hard day of shepherding. And all of a sudden, this man stands before them. How did they get past the sentry? Doesn't matter. It's the light coming from this man was so bright, it not only shone around him, but it lit up everywhere around them. Calm and collected? I think not. I don't know what kept them from jumping and running into the hills. Probably fear, but they didn't. But I'd like to believe that Gabriel's words had such a calming effect on the shepherds as they heard his words and the news in all of its details, because they heard each and every word that Gabriel told them. This was the messenger from God. In the movie A Charlie Brown Christmas, there's a scene, my favorite scene of the entire movie, that kind of reminds me of this visit from Gabriel to the shepherds. Linus decides he was going to finally end the confusion and tell the Christmas story, reminding Charlie Brown and everyone else what Christmas really is all about. He steps out onto a dimly lit stage, and in the words of a director himself, he looks up and he says, "Lights, please," and the spotlight comes on, and it illuminates him and the stage around him in front of all of his friends. And he recites, as some of us know by heart, the old King James Version of the birth of Jesus. And if you'll allow me, this kind of takes me back when I hear these words. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, those of you that are around my age, that's the way we heard the Christmas story when we were young. And it warms my heart to hear it again. This was the message. This was the message. But I want to point out something to you. As the King James Version says, a child is born in the city of David in Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, as I just read. While you and I understand what Gabriel is saying, the New Revised Standard Version and the NIV are closer to the original translation. And it says, who is the Messiah, the Lord. That's what the shepherds heard, the Messiah. Their deliverer had finally come, the one who would deliver them and who would be king once again for an entire reunited nation. Their emotions had turned from terrified and scared to one of overjoyed. Gabriel gives them the joyous message of Jesus' birth, and before they can even ask where he is, Gabriel tells them where they can find him. He tells them he is lying in a manger, in a food trough for animals. The shepherds were probably familiar with this food trough place where the stable is, because if you remember last week, I conveyed to you that Bethlehem was once great, the city of David, and the center of all the nation of Israel had become, after the nation had been carried off into captivity, and then they came back, was a humble, small town about 3 miles south of Jerusalem. It's thought that it only had one inn in the entire city. Not only did Gabriel give them a wonderful message, but after he had finished, as we read, every angel in heaven began singing praises to God. Now just imagine the shepherds sitting there. Not only are they been mystified by this angel standing in front of them, but all of a sudden, voices coming from heaven of every angel in heaven singing. This was a night for the shepherds. Never had they seen anything like this. Well, when the angels went away and went back up into heaven, it says that the shepherds went to Bethlehem. And I'm sure with a little joy in their step, but more than likely, probably a little joy in their run. I would run. We can find a lot of excitement ourselves in this message too this morning. We know that Jesus was born to all, not just to the nation of Israel. Gabriel said, "I bring you good news of great joy to all people." We can feel the excitement, as you probably already have this time of year, because we know our Savior is born in the city of David. He was coming as the king, not just over the nation of Israel, but for every nation on this earth, our Messiah. Some people we may know are like Charlie Brown and just can't get excited during this season because they've lost the true meaning of Christmas. My third and final point I want us to look at in the scriptures this morning is the messengers. Not the messenger, but the messengers, plural. The shepherds found Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus just as Gabriel had told them. They undoubtedly praised the birth of Jesus and told them, Mary and Joseph, exactly what the angels had said and what they had heard, the singing from the heavens. Mary had been visited by Gabriel with a message. Joseph had been visited in a dream with a message. The shepherds, whom they had probably never met before, not being from that era, that area of Israel, corroborated everything that they had heard, not only in a dream, but from an angel. Here was the lowest of the low in Jewish society, telling them they had been visited by an angel and angels singing in heaven with the good news. The scriptures tells us after they had told Mary and Joseph, they returned to their fields. They sang, they praised God, and they told everyone who would listen, from the stable back to their flocks. But I'm guessing not too many people listened to the stinky shepherds. They were the lowest. Who are they to tell us this message? I'm sure the people of Bethlehem thought. After they had left, Mary began to think about everything that she not only saw that night, but the things that had happened before. The pieces started falling together for her. But she may have thought, why did an angel appear to the lowly shepherd? Why did he appear to those shepherds? Why wasn't the news spread to more people than just them? Why did we have to have this child, the Son of God, in a stable surrounded by animals instead of mayors and elected officials and leaders in the synagogue? Why? Joseph knew this baby was the Messiah. Mary knew her child was the Messiah, the Son of God, as Gabriel had told them. But Mary pondered all of these things in her heart because, get this, it was a glimpse of the ministry her son was going to have. Jesus sought out the lowly. He sought the outcast. He sought out the smelly shepherds. He sought out the stinky fishermen to spread his good news. Jesus knew if he enlisted the self-righteous elite religious leaders of the day, his message would be turned into one all about them, and it would elevate them to a position instead of bringing magnifying his heavenly Father. The good news is simple. It is a simple message, and it is not to be mistaken by anything mankind has done. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was birthed in a lowly stall, laid in a feed trough, and first held by the rough hands of a carpenter. Jesus did not come for the riches or fame of this world. He came to reach the lost and the forgotten. This should be our message this morning and during this season, that Jesus came for everyone. This is the Messiah's good news. This is the true meaning of Christmas. And even Charlie Brown and his friends realized this eventually. Let's all enjoy the lights and the parades and the parties and the movies during this Advent season. But in all, let's always ponder in our hearts the true meaning of Christmas and never, ever lose it. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our final hymn today is hymn number 249, There's a Song in the Air. I'd like to ask everyone to please stand. If there are those that are here today that would like to unite with this church, please, I invite you to come forward. I'll meet you down here, and we will welcome you into our fellowship as we're singing hymn number 249. It's so good to have you here this morning. For those who are visiting with us, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming. For those who are away and coming back, thank you so much. Good to see y'all. It is a wonderful time of the year. Let us all have smiles on our faces. Remember, this next Sunday is, I have just totally forgotten. You know me. I can't remember names.
Lessons and carols.
Lessons and carols. It's so easy. My brain doesn't work this morning. Lessons and carols, it's going to be an entire service of music, and it's going to be glorious, not only here in the divine services, but also over in our contemporary service over in Launch. It's going to be great. And then on the 23rd, we're going to have one service at 10 o'clock in the morning here in the sanctuary, and then the next day, our candlelight services at 4, 7, and 11. So much going on. You won't want to miss a single service. You will be blessed. I promise you. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I thank you. I thank you so much that you sent your Son
to be born for us that you loved us so much. Father, may we do everything we can to honor you, honor your love, and honor your grace this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.